The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Blickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Filer.
Here.
Freeman. Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery. Goggles.
Here.
Greer. Greer. Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Moniz, Nicholas, Nicholas, Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen, Reeder, Simlick, Summers,
here.
Stubson, Stubson, Teeters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace, Wallace, Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Burkhart.
Excused.
Burkhart excused. Greer.
Excused.
Greer excused. Harshman.
Excused.
Harshman excused. Moniz.
Excused.
Moniz excused. Nicholas.
Excused.
Nicholas excused. Stubson.
Excused.
Stubson excused. Wallace.
Excused.
Wallace excused.
The Appropriations Committee is excused.
53 present, 7 excused.
The prayer of the day is offered by Reverend Mark Marston, representing the First United Methodist Church, Cheyenne.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Lord in heaven, who created the grass of the fields, the birds of the air, our Lord who hung the stars in the sky, we give you great thanks on this day for giving all of these men and women gathered before us here on this day, the responsibilities that they have before them. Our Lord, we ask that you may guide them on this day, that they may face all the responsibilities that they have before them. Our Lord, we ask that you may lead them through this world that lays before them. Just as you have led your people through the wilderness to the promised lands, to new lands, lands of hope and lands of plenty, our Lord, we ask that you may lead them through this land that you have given us. Our Lord, please guide them through this highest calling that you have given them. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put it there.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
We're at that business, that order of business of Journal Committee report. Representative Esquivel, privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this 62nd, we have some special guests visiting from Salt Lake City, Utah. They're back here in our west balcony, Ed and Lois Smart. Welcome to the Wyoming Legislature.
Mr. and Mrs. Smart, welcome to the House. Representative Blake, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our south balcony is the president of Western Wyoming College. Please welcome Dr. Carla Leach.
Welcome to the House. Our doctor of the day is Renee Hinkle, M.D. from Cheyenne. Our nurse of the day from the Campbell County Memorial Hospital is Ann Raga. And now we'll go back to that Journal Committee report thing.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 22, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Representative Winters.
Any more privileges of the floor? We are at that order of business of oath of office for Representative Rosie Berger. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that a committee of two be appointed to wait upon the Honorable Justice William Hill and request his presence in the House chambers to administer the oath of office to Representative Berger.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Representative Crone and Representative Greer, please inform Justice Hill that the House is ready for him to administer the oath of office and escort Justice Hill to the rostrum.
It's my pleasure to announce the Honorable William Hill, Wyoming Supreme Court Justice, escorted by Representatives Crone and Greer.
Representatives Harvey and Davison, escort Representative Berger to the front. Representative Berger, please approach the rostrum to receive the oath of office. You may be seated. We're at that order of business of election of Speaker Pro Tem. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I nominate Representative Rosie Berger as Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives of the 62nd Wyoming Legislature.
Representative Coleman.
I second the nomination of Representative Rosie Berger and move that her election be made unanimous, dispensing with the roll call.
It has been moved and seconded that Representative Rosie Berger be unanimously elected Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming Legislature, and that we dispense with the roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. I appoint Representatives Harvey and Davison to escort Representative Rosie Berger to receive the oath of office, but since she's already here, no escorting is necessary. Representatives Throne and Representative Connolly, please escort His Honor Justice Hill back to his chambers. Please stand. be seated. Representative Berger, welcome to the House. Chairman Harshman, did you want to have a privilege of the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think members in your tray is a new goldenrod for today. So this will be the last time I talk to you in a while about the goldenrod. I just wanted to follow up on yesterday's conversations and just talking about what that most important line is, and that's the line with a footnote 6 beside it, which is towards the bottom of it, expenditures on the front page. And see, today it is $21,347,820. See that? That's the and what it's designated, it says budget bill, budget reserve account transfer to LSRA. So anything that we don't spend, this is money on the table, that we don't spend will be saved in the LSRA. Okay? And another just reminder that that number is really about 28 when you see the JAC the JAC position, which will come out next week. Now, why did that drop? Because yesterday it was 21,467. Today it's 21,347. So then you just simply turn to page 2. Remember where all the bills are listed under appropriations once they pass committee of the whole? And you can see the new one on there for $120,000, Senate File 60, Medicaid Reform. So once that passed committee of the whole, it's been profiled on the goldenrod, and then thus reducing that budget bill, budget reserve account transfer, footnote number 6, hence money that's on the table has been reduced with the passage of that bill. Okay? So that'll be my last update. I don't want to overdo this with you, but I'd be available for any questions anytime. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
With that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 211.
House Bill number 211, as introduced by Representative Barlow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to eminent domain.
House Bill number 211 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 220.
House Bill number 220, as introduced by Representative Gingrey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to involuntary hospitalization.
House Bill 220 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 215.
House Bill Number 215 is introduced by Representative Patton.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state investments.
House Bill Number 215 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 37.
House Bill Number 37, introduced by the Travel Committee. An act relating to game and fish.
First reading of the bill.
Sorry. Yes. An act relating to game and fish. I'm sorry.
House Bill number 6 is referred to Committee number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 218.
House Bill number 218 is introduced by Representative Burkhart.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the collection of debts due the state or other governmental entities.
House Bill number 218 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 219.
House Bill number 219 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanenser.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill number 219 is referred to Committee number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 212.
House Bill number 212, as introduced by Representative Throne.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cities, towns, and counties.
House Bill 212 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 214.
House Bill number 214 is introduced by Representative Lubnow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to hospital districts.
House Bill 214 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 217.
House Bill number 217 is introduced by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to environmental quality.
House Bill 217 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 221.
House Bill number 221 is introduced by Representative Lubnow.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 221 is referred to Committee number 9, Minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 222.
House Bill number 222 as introduced by Representative Crone.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to professions and occupations.
House Bill 222 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next order of business is reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 14, engrossed, Education State Administration respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, and Wallace, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. House Bill Number 195, as introduced by Representative Kirkbride, an act relating to taxation. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 195, Rail Tax Exemption Extension, respectfully reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Madden, Northrop, Petroff, and Semlich. One no vote was from Representative Laux, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 128, Illegal Possession of Wildlife Parts, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Gay, Halverson, Hutchings, Yagi, Pipirinen, and Crone, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 85, Municipal Jurisdiction, Extraterritorial Authority, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Gay, Green, Paxton, Petroff, and Danswanser. Those who voted no, Representative Blickery, Byrd, Kirkbride, and Representative Berger was excused, signed by Representative Blickery, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred House Bill 150, Bonds for Certificate of Title, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchins, Yagi, Larson, Laux, McKim, and Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative McKim, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 63, State Primacy on Greenhouse Gas Regulations, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasperic, Larson, Lockhart, Readers, Summers, and Winters, signed by Chairman Lockhart.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25.
House Bill Number 25 is introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to pari-mutuel wagering.
There is an amendment. Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment to House Bill 2025 and would ask for your favorable approval. The bill basically places some responsibility on the town receiving the funding from the pari-mutuel event. I'm going to just read it. Funds disbursed under this paragraph shall be used as the governing body receiving the funds determines necessary or appropriate to address negative impacts associated with gambling within the governing body's jurisdiction. And the reason I'd like to have it there is just to have some record of the concern that the legislature would have on allowing more measures or more latitude in incorporating historic horse races as well as the other paramutual events that go on. It adds a little comfort for me to know that somebody else might be responsible for taking care of the social effects that happen from compulsive gambling and whatnot. And maybe the burden wouldn't be entirely placed on the state. So anyway, that's the gist of it. There'll be another amendment that would soften it a bit. And I don't think this is too hard. I think this is, probably this would be my choice if we could pass it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Wallace, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to provide a little bit of extra information that was not presented yesterday that addresses this particular amendment and the next one that's coming. And that is that the industry currently, there are multiple programs that are already in place and are being used today. The Wyoming Paramutual Commission website has a direct link to a responsible gambling, problem gambling assistance. Every one of the facilities has 800 numbers posted and flyers that are available to people so that those programs are out there and they exist. This amendment, I was a little bit concerned about the wording of this first one because it says funds dispersed under this shall be used, and it could be interpreted to mean that the entire 1% of revenue stream flowing to that city or county would have to be spent only on addressing these problems. And that certainly wasn't the intent of the bill. And so my preference and the amendment that I'll be supporting will be the next one, which simply changes that shall to a may, leaves it up to those local governments to decide if they think there is a need, they can direct some of those funds to those kind of programs.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I would rise in opposition to this amendment. I'd say this: let this money go to that local entity and let them make the decision, let them decide what they need to do. We don't need legislation pushing them that way, and I just prefer that we voted this down and let the bill move forward.
Anyone else for your first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Eklund.
I would disagree. I think that there should be some responsibility placed on the communities that have it there. And that's what the intent of this amendment does. As far as the word shall, later on in the amendment, it says the funds determines, receiving the funds, that entity determines necessary and appropriate to address negative impacts. Anyway, I think it just simply says they shall consider it what's necessary and appropriate is the way I see the amendment reading, and it gives me a little more comfort probably on the whole idea of paramutual betting. Mr. Chairman, I'd call for question. On the amendment, House Bill 25, Amendment Number 1.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25 fails. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 25. Representatives Wanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to remove second reading amendment number 2 from House Bill 25.
Without a second reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 25 has been withdrawn. House Bill 25 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56.
House Bill number 56, introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to environmental quality.
House Bill 56 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 95.
House Bill number 95 is introduced by Representative Blake, an act relating to public safety.
House Bill 95 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill number 108 is introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to agriculture.
There is an amendment. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment, House Amendment number 1 to House Bill 108 and ask for your favorable consideration on this. On the standing committee, pardon me. On the standing committee, there was a section in there that kind of left it confusing, and I'm sorry, I don't have that in connect. Do you have that standing committee? Okay. What it did was that it looked like that it was saying the food was approved. Thank you. Instead, what we want to say in which the kitchen doesn't have to be approved by FDA, and pretty much what that means is, if you want to make pickles and take them to the farmer's market, it is one of the approved foods that you would be able to sell that without your kitchen, not the pickles, but the kitchen being inspected and licensed by the Department of Agriculture. And then on page 3, lines 16 through 20, it originally reads, the purpose of the Wyoming Food Freedom Act is to allow for the sale and consumption of homemade foods, and to encourage expansion, accessibility of farmers' markets. And that whole paragraph was grammatically incorrect. The accessibility of farmers' markets, ranch, farm, home-based sales, and producer to informed end consumer ag sales by. And instead, we're just replacing that whole paragraph, and I think it's a little more readable, a little more understandable by the public. The purpose of the Wyoming Food Freedom Act is to allow for the sale and consumption of homemade foods and to encourage the expansion of agriculture sales by farmers markets, ranches, farms, home-based producers, and the accessibility of the same to informed end consumers. And so pretty much it just states that what we want to do is to allow for the sale to an end-use consumer and to broaden the sales thereof. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Representative Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I consider this a friendly amendment and would encourage you to support it.
Any further discussion? Further discussion? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 108. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 108 passes. We are now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 108. Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment to HB 108 and ask for the favorable approval. HB 108, the new amendment is to delete the Wallace of the Committee of the Whole amendment, which is number 4, and insert in line 16 of page 2, food and food products or agricultural products means products from agricultural commodities, including crops for food and fiber, dairy products, and any other product for human consumption from an agricultural operation excluding meat. The purpose of this is this keeps in place the certification and regulation of the commercial meat processors, a $10 to $12 million industry in the state of Wyoming with round figures of 50 people being employed. Also, the loss of the Equal II status means that the University of Wyoming Meat Labs will be affected by this passage of the bill in its present state. I stand for questions.
Anybody else for the first time? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage you to defeat this amendment. And I think, you know, the most obvious reason, of course, is the simple fact that the whole point of this bill is that we, as consumers, citizens of the state of Wyoming, have a right to make private treaty transaction deals with people that we look in the eye and know exactly what we're buying, and that the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution totally supports that idea that these transactions are only within the state, are only between private individuals, are not in any kind of commerce outside of those private transactions. This cherry picks probably the largest opportunity for our Wyoming producers and consumers to use a product that is readily available in this state that many people want. And you realize that it's also deleting the amendment that allows for the use of the meat from custom exempt shops. So I challenge, you know, and this is being done based on some potential threat from a federal agency that would have to come in and provide these services if they pull the Wyoming designation. So I think that's a hollow threat. I think this body has made a clear choice in this matter. And just to address that, this is about a lot more than just food safety. You know, food safety is a concern, but I know that I eat my own meat. I know that a bunch of you on this floor probably eat your own meat. All this does is allow you to sell to someone in a direct private transaction the exact same meat that you are feeding your family and your kids. That's what this allows. And if we adopt this amendment, it says basically that the state of Wyoming is going to knuckle under to a perceived possible threat from the federal government. Remember also that in one of the amendments that we passed yesterday, we passed the severability clause, which, if they did follow through with this hollow threat, and if there was any impact to our meat industry, that severability clause says at that point, we can take meat off the table to prevent any damage to our processors, but everything else stays on. So I think we've got plenty of protection in the bill for our meat processors. I don't think there's any reason for us to back up on this issue at this point. I appreciate a no vote. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Representative Wallace. I hope that someday you can sponsor a bill you're passionate about. Representative Eklund.
I'm just kind of a clarification. I'm curious as to why the meat lab at our great university was singled out, if there was a reason for that or if it was just an example. Maybe the sponsor of the amendment could address that. Thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, and I do appreciate our good friend from Powell bringing the amendment to stimulate the conversation one more time. I think we've seen this bill four times now since the good representative and I from Campbell County first came in as freshmen together. And the reason why I'm primarily against the amendment is I don't believe that meat processed in large facilities is safer than meat that's processed by our local people in inspected plants. If you look, I was talking with a good representative from Campbell County, and there was a study done on a McDonald's, or I'm sorry, excuse me, the largest hamburger chain in America's product. And they did a DNA sample of the meat in that sandwich, and there were over 40 individuals in that one patty. I ask you, what is safer, meat processed by my little guy in Goshen County, or a hamburger from a huge plant in central Nebraska where potentially hundreds of individuals are in one patty? I think our meat is safer.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I stand in support of the amendment. I don't think we're questioning the safety of that meat. What we're really questioning of is the ability for producers now that are in business to provide commercial meats being able to continue on with their business. Now, I appreciate the good representative from Campbell County stating that if the USDA would come in and pull that equal to status away from us, that then we would make them come in and do it. But what do these meat producers do in the meantime while we're waiting for that to happen? It's a substantial amount of business in the state. And my concern, as much as I like this bill and I agree with the principles behind it, but we have a business that exists in the state that this could adversely affect, and I've not got it in my mind and my heart yet that we've taken into account the repercussions that would affect them. So I would the good representative from Park County has been very cautious about this, and these are the legal minds put this in there to help protect the existing business entities that we have around the state. So I would encourage you to support the bill, and I would not argue for a minute that the meat that's produced from these home-based things is safe. I surely think that it is. Thank you.
Anyone else for your first time? First time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm mostly concerned about the commercial versus private treaty. I fully support private treaty. If the sponsor of the bill would like to sell meat to her neighbors, to anybody else, if any of us who produce livestock would like to sell it to our neighbor or to anybody, that is just fine in my book. I'm concerned about the guys that buy meat, that buy cattle, livestock, have them produced or have them slaughtered in their own facilities and under USDA supervision, and then are reselling it as they do in a town to the northeast up by the park, then that particular group of commercial people will lose their ability to have the equal to status. Mr. Chairman, I call for the question and your favorable passage on this bill, or this amendment, HB 108.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 108. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment fails. House Bill 108, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 127.
House Bill number 127, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to veterans.
House Bill 127, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143.
House Bill number 143, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to game and fish.
Now, there's a controversial amendment on this one. Representative Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 143, ask for its favorable passage. When I divided the amendment yesterday, technically there's no way I could have divided it to make it correct. So the drafting people on this floor to the right of me alerted me to this fact, and this is just a cleanup amendment to go along with the language to make the statute read correctly. So I'd ask for favorable consideration.
You've heard the discussion. Any further discussion? Discussion question being called. All in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 143, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment carried. House Bill 143, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 149.
House Bill number 149 is introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the official mythical creature of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Bill 149 and would ask for your favorable consideration. I simply propose, this is a very simple amendment, I propose to change the word mythical creature to mythical critter. I think that in the spirit of Western tradition and in the line of a certain famous cowboy actor who was born with a rather odd, somewhat feminine name and then changed his name to something more masculine and Western and cowboy-ish, would be in favor of this, that critter is a little more Western than creature, creature being a little upscale for Wyoming. And I say that in a good light. So I would encourage you to vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't rise in opposition to this amendment, but I really think we have to consult with LSO to determine if critter is an appropriate word to put in the statute.
Anyone else for your first? Representatives Wanitzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a policy question, and I'll trust the will of the body.
I'm afraid to ask. Is there any more discussion? Discussion. Representative Brown, or Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'm making reference to the good book that has all the words in it. And it says that the definition of critter is creature.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Moniz, are you... Okay. Any discussion prior to this... I hate to do this. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the good co-bringer of this amendment. Now that we know that those are sort of interchangeable, I see no problem with this. So please support it. Thank you.
Our debate has found itself at a new level. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 149. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House Bill or second reading amendment. Okay, let me do that again. So we're clear. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 149. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 149 has passed. Division having been called, all in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 149, please stand. Would we agree, ladies and gentlemen, that this is more than 31? Just to continue exercises in futility, all opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 149 has passed. House Bill 149 having been read 2 separate times to question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill number 151, as introduced by Representative P. Perinan, an act relating to trusts.
House Bill 151 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 167.
House Bill number 167, as introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to judicial retirement.
House Bill 167, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill number 186 is introduced by Representative Petroff, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
There is an amendment. Representative Swanitz or Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a second reading of amendment number 1 to House Bill 186 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday we had some discussion about a sunset date, and this amendment hopefully solves that problem for all of us. And it looks very complicated, but basically what happens is we are setting aside like $6 million and some of taxable or exemptions. So what's going to happen is as they build these plants and they take an exemption, and we do have different tax rates in different counties, they can charge it against the total amount. And then once that amount has been used up, then that exemption goes away. And I think this is a good way to handle this problem, because then we don't have to have a sunset. This gets the industry up and going. It gives them a chance to get enough plants that where private enterprise can take a hold. If it doesn't, then this money, hopefully they reverted it back. But it'll solve a problem that we don't have to look at this every 4 years. And for those of you who've been in here, you know that these sunsets always come up every 4 or 6 years, and we have a major discussion. And so I think this establishes a great little fund, and it also solves the problem that once it's up and going, there should be enough stations to handle a situation. We can rock and roll from there. And I stand for any questions.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, this isn't just a compromise. This is actually makes it a better bill. It puts a spot on the horizon where we're calling it, where we're feeling like the infrastructure is in place to where the industry can take off by itself. And in addition to that, it puts a specific dollar amount on the horizon that we know we're not going to go over, even if every station were built in the highest taxing county, the maximum we would be looking at over the course of however long it takes to build these stations would be $375,000. So I don't think a reversion is necessary because it's a tax exemption, so I'm not sure how that would work because it's not an appropriation. But anyway, on and in favor of the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, I think another positive aspect to this is probably that it sends a tacit message of urgency on the part of potential builders of these things, that when this money is gone, this tax exempt money is gone, it's gone. And you better get in line, and you know, it might help them make their decisions in a more timely manner, and we might have more of these stations built quicker with that limit on there.
Any more discussion prior to the sponsor? First time, second time? Voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 186. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment carries. House Bill 186, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 188.
House Bill number 188 is introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to public funds.
House Bill 188, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 190.
House Bill number 190 is introduced by Representative Walters, an act relating to public defenders.
House Bill 190, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pulling two bills off of the consent list. They'll go to the bottom of the third reading regular list. The two that are pulled out are House Bill 39 and House Bill 171. Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 35, 78, 122, 139, 153, 154, and 170.
Reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill number 35, introduced by Representative Gingery, an act relating to search and rescue operations. House Bill number 78, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to administration of government.
Let me go back.
You'll have to, pardon me, I should have read as well on House Bill 35 be enacted by the state of Wyoming. Also on House Bill 78, the same, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. Now we're House Bill 122, as introduced by Representative Petroff, an act relating to alcohol, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 139, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 153, as introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to the Interstate Compact on Juveniles, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 154, as introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to public defenders, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 170, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to sales tax, be enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 35, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 78, are there any changes? Esquivel, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Throne, aye to no. Are there any further changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 3 no. As to House Bill 122, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 139, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 153, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 154, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 170, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Watt, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Hutchings, aye to no. Wilson, aye to no. Pieperinen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 35, 78, 122, 139, 153, 154, and 170 have passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery today we have, you know, these guys give tickets, so be nice to them. We have sheriffs, chiefs, Wyoming peace officers, Game and Fish Association, and Troopers Association. Many are in uniform. This is only half of them. The other half are in the Senate. And they are going to be in the tunnel on the way to caucus. We're going to delay caucus a little bit at noon so you can visit with them. They had a box lunch hosted that conflicted with our caucus, and so we'll take a few moments on the way through to visit with them. So please welcome them all to the House.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Lockhart, privilege of the floor. No, just coming to visit. Anybody else for privilege of the floor? Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We're at that order of business of third reading and final passage. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill number 31, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to the Secretary of State, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 39 having been read three separate times. House Bill 31 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Harlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund, Esquivel, Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson, Winters,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 14 no.
House Bill number, what did we just do? 31, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members of the House, House Bill 31 has passed the House. He moved that to the bottom. It's after 76. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill number 76, introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to criminal procedure, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
The Chief Clerk will call the House Bill 76 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filler, Filer, Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters. Swanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blickery. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 40 aye, 20 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill number 76 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39. Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pursuant to Rule 7-3 and with the approval of the sponsor bringer of the bill, I would move to lay this back one day.
Without objection, pursuant to Rule 7.3, the bill will be laid back one day. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 171.
House Bill number 171, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to taxation, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 171 has an amendment. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 171 and will withdraw it in a moment. On general file, I talked about ethanol and the energy content and that, and this has turned into a much more involved process than I ever thought possible, and it's resulting in a bill being drafted now. I'm not for sure I'm going to be able to get it in time, but it's going to address all these road fuels that are out there, the gasoline, the ethanol, the diesel, the LPG, LNG, all of them, because right now they're taxed on a per-gallon rate, and some of these fuels have less energy per gallon, yet they're paying the same tax as the higher energy per-gallon rate. So Just a note of information, not opposed to the bill. It's just that this is one thing that needed to be clarified. It's bringing in, this particular amendment brings in, I believe, liquefied natural gas, but it'll be taxed on a per gallon basis if we don't do something else, which liquefied natural gas has a lot less energy per gallon than a gallon of unleaded regular gasoline. So I have a bill that's going to address this and try to normalize all this to a level playing field. So I just wanted to let you know that bill is going to be possibly coming out. If we can't get it done in time, we'll probably try to push it as an interim topic. Okay.
Representative or Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address the bringer of the amendment's concerns that the ethanol is of course, a 10%, 90% blend, and it's blended in such a way to reach certain octane requirements. And in that regard, you know, whether you buy, premium gasoline or regular gasoline or the mid-level gasoline, it's all 14 cents. And likewise, with ethanol, it's still 14 cents because they make the adjustments in the blend of real fuel, real gasoline, to reach octane requirements that would be attained without that being in there. So the tax is still 14 cents per gallon if ethanol's in there or not in there. Now, what might have confused the bringer of the amendment when I was talking yesterday, that's what the consumer pays at the pump if he buys ethanol. But
you know, the story doesn't end there as far as with YDOT, because there's a tax credit for the production of ethanol that occurs in Wyoming. So, you know, the theoretical deal is that if you get the Wyoming's 10% ethanol that's produced in a ethanol plant in Wyoming, they owe that ethanol on a gallon per gallon basis 40 cents tax credit. So that's how that came up. Now, the other thing that the bringer of the amendment was confused about is that we don't tax these other things with lower BTU content on the same per gallon basis. I thought probably everybody understood that per gallon equivalent is to normalize it so that we have the tax the same on a BTU content. And I left it back at my desk, but I've got the list of what the BTU content on a gallon of gasoline is and what it is on a gallon of liquefied natural gas, and it's, you know, something like 70%. So it takes 1.7 liquefied natural gas gallons to equal 1 gallon of gasoline. So, in other words, the per gallon equivalent is the same, and that's what a lot of states do to make it fair. It wouldn't be fair to charge 14 cents for a gallon of liquefied natural gas if it's only, you know, 70% as good in producing energy. You know, this is no bill to, fall on a sword for. I mean, all we're doing is to make it clear to potential entrants, if they build a liquefied natural gas plant here and sell it, that they know ahead of time, before they even build the plant, that it will be taxed on a per gallon basis, and it takes the uncertainty out. And the real reason is that if you wait until there's a couple of these plants in there and you say, we better do what we should have done before, and then you get an argument with whoever produces liquefied natural gas, and they'll say, well, why don't you give us a break? We don't, you know, we want a tax exemption for liquefied natural gas because it's a new commodity and it's good for you and all this. You know, we've heard these arguments even today. So, again, I would recommend that you reject this third reading amendment and vote for the bill. If the sponsor of this amendment wants to bring another bill, it wasn't going to have any effect on whether we define liquefied natural gas is gasoline. Because right now, if that last sentence, we leave that in there, it says gasoline does not mean liquefied gas, and it would not be taxed under the criteria that is given in this section of the statute. So, you know, please vote for it, and if I can answer further questions, I'll do so. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Miller.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, I'm not confused on any of this. Bottom line is the energy content of all of these fuels are taxed on a per gallon basis. So it's real simple. There's more energy in a gallon of diesel than there is a gallon of gas. So that brings up the question, should diesel be actually paying a slightly higher per gallon tax rate? I don't know. That'll be up to this body at this point when I bring up a bill that addresses some of these issues. LPG right now would be taxed on a per gallon basis, and LPG has a content of 84,000 BTUs per gallon versus 114,000 BTUs per gallon. That's the way it is right now. I think these all, you know, no games or tricks. Everything should be taxed at the same rate based on energy content. You know, you could vote no on this bill if you wanted. I don't think it makes any difference. I was actually going to vote yes on this bill and probably still will. But again, we're working on another bill. I don't know if it's going to get out in time for this session, but this is something as we move into some of these alternative carbon-based fuels, we need to tax them at the same rates. So I'll withdraw the amendment at this time.
House Bill 171 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey, Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux, Laux, Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petrov, Pieperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers,
aye.
Stebson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 2 no.
We are on that order of business of consideration of bills on, House Bill 171 having received an affirmative vote of the majority of, was it 171 or 170? 171 having received a majority of the members of the elected to the House, House Bill 171 has passed the House. Now we are on that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker. Making use of your yellow sheet for today, general file. General file order at the moment is House Bill 98, 61, 62, 133, 175, 197, House Joint Resolution 3, House Joint Resolution 4, House Bill 53, 84, 117, 172, 195, 128, 85, 150, 63, Senate File 104, House Bill 147, 93, and 94. Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
Before we vote on that, Representative Patton, privilege of the floor.
Personal privilege. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our labors as legislators, we oftentimes find ourselves in the position of having to call on other folks to help us. Three of them are present with us as they attended not one but several and then hours and hours of work in helping the Corporations Committee in the last year on appropriation or on reapportionment. And so I'd like to acknowledge their presence today, Mrs. Edith Thompson, Kim Hines, Chief Deputy at Sheridan County Clerk, Vicki Edelman from Johnson County, and Eric from Campbell County, also is very familiar with Mrs. Shunk being directly related. Please give her a hand. Thanks.
Welcome to the House. It has been moved and seconded that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is in Committee of the Whole. Representative Chairman Madden.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 98, and the reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 98 is introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to county clerks, amending fees collected by county clerks as specified, eliminating authority of county clerk to prepare true copies for recording and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, the committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 98, County Fees, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye. Representative Blickery, Byrd, Green, Kirkbride, Paxton, and Petroff. Those who voted no, Representatives Gay and Danswanser. One excuse, that's Representative Berger. And it is signed by Representative Blickery, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 98 do pass. And I would like to turn over the explanation of the bill to the sponsor.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The county clerks have asked us to bring this bill to you today. It's House Bill 98. Basically, the enacting clause says an act relating to county clerks, amending fees collected by county clerks as specified, eliminating authority of county clerk to prepare true copies for recording, and providing for an effective date. The changes take place on page 2. Beginning on line 7, the first change there is changing the fee for that from $2 to $5. Then beginning on line 14, or actually on 13 going through 18, is where they have asked to be stricken, where they have to prepare true copies themselves, handwriting them, and leaves it to the rest of that statute there. Then as we go forward, Mr. Chairman, on line 24 of page 2, a recording change again from 8 to 12. And then on page 3, Mr. Chairman, as we go down through, they're asking for a number of changes there. I have had a handout passed around. It's a spreadsheet that shows you how the fees have increased for them over time. They haven't asked for a fee change in 11 years, and they're trying to improve their technology, and they're coming to the House today, members of the House, to request these fee changes. And basically, Mr. Chairman, that's it in a nutshell. Stand for any questions.
Any questions? Representatives Warner, sir.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking against this bill, but I probably will ask you to vote yes in the end, and I know that's a very awkward position to put me in, but I do have some concerns that we are about to change all of these fees in statute. These fees were decided upon by our county clerks and brought to us not in the interim, not without any, at least, consultation that I know of to the committee before this bill came. And so when I questioned them in committee on if they thought that was a good process and why in our three corporations committee meetings this summer, why they didn't bring this up, they said, well, last time we changed the fees, we didn't talk to you beforehand either, and we didn't go before you in the interim. So I guess they generally feel they have power to decide upon these fees in their county meetings and then present them to us for our approval. And I guess I feel it's somewhat unfair when we have other agencies, and most of you on this floor are well aware another one of our state agencies is asking for fee increases that's extremely controversial. That's had a lot of interim study and topic and multiple bills. And so we are the legislature. These fees are in statute under our purview and for our discussion. And, I've looked through all these, and none of these fees are egregious, and I understand what they're wanting to do. But I guess I just want to somewhat protest the process that really these things should come before the legislature, probably in the interim, letting us have a better conversation on how we set these fees and what all these things do. I think what does bother me a little bit is you'll see that we don't we're not raising the fees across the board. The county clerks got together and decided what fees need to be raised, and you know, they've left some the same rate that they've been 11 years ago or possibly before then, because they didn't come before us and go through the whole statutes with us even 11 years ago, the last time they asked for these fee increases. And so although I probably won't be here in 5 years, those of you who are, they've told us they're going to come back for another fee increase in about 5 years. And so hopefully someone remembers at that time to encourage them to come before an interim committee and work with us beforehand and go through the whole statute, because I guess this is the second time now in over a decade that we're just approving these without actually going through them. And so I just wanted to express my discontent, I suppose. That being said, I think they are all necessary and needed, and it's probably a good bill. Thank you.
Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple comments about that last presentation. The county clerks did remind us that last year they had redistricting and an election, which did consume quite a bit of their time. And they are bringing it to the legislature. We are making that decision. And I might also add that I think who better to decide what those fees ought to be, at least to give them the opportunity to bring it to us. They've done that. It is now up to you to make that decision, and that's all I have on that issue. Thank you.
Any other remarks? Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am one of the co-sponsors on House Bill 98. We did meet with our county clerks. The county clerks did inform us. This is actually the third time that they've come before us for an increase in their fee schedule. The previous two times have been 11 years apart. So it was 22 years ago, 11 years ago, and then here we are today. So in the future, it might be another 11 years before you get another change in fee schedule, so we might all be gone by then. But anyway, this is a cost of doing business, folks, for our county clerks. 11 years ago, they asked for a fee increase. It was granted by this body, and it probably brought them up to a level of doing business. And here we are 11 years later asking for a fee increase. It was brought to our attention that 1 hour of our clerk's time to put together a subdivision or a plat, $60. In your fee schedule, you will notice that they are asking only for $50. So they really aren't at level. This bill provides our clerks the fee schedule to do the business, continue to do your business. It's your business when you want to get married. You go for a marriage license. You go for a title. And all the extra duties that our clerks perform has been imposed upon them by this body and the other side of the house. So in addition to the work that they're doing additional work, reporting requirements for that's legislatively mandated for them. That's part of the cost in their rise of doing business. So it's a good bill. Vote for it.
Any other questions or remarks? Ready for the question. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Blickery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Bill number 98 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 98 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Okay. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House number 61 is introduced by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to trade and commerce, authorizing use of a nationwide licensing system for licensing activities regulated by the Division of Banking under the Uniform Consumer Credit Code, the Consumer Rental Purchase Agreement Act, and the Money Transmitter Act, requiring printing and background checks, including criminal history record checks for licensure, providing authority to the Commissioner of the Division of Banking to implement nationwide licensing systems, providing conforming amendments, creating definitions, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 61, Banking Division, a Nationwide Licensing System, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Those who voted aye, Representative Kennedy, Greer, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Winters. Those who voted no, Representatives Byrd and Summers. Signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Okay, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 61 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. And I'd like to turn the explanation of this over to the Vice Chair of the Minerals Committee, the good legislator from Campbell County.
Representative Kasparik, are you going to explain the Standing Committee Amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right, proceed.
Mr. Chairman, give a little background on the bill first. House Bill 61 addresses laws that fall under the jurisdiction of the Wyoming Banking Commission. This includes the Wyoming Uniform Consumer Credit Code, the Wyoming Transmitters Act, and the Wyoming Rental Purchase Agreement. It provides an option for licensing that either goes through the national licensing process, such is done with mortgage companies, or applicants may also submit a paper application. Licensing can be done online through the nationwide licensing system. It does not alter the division's ability to approve or deny a license, and it also allows applicants to apply online or to fill out a paper application. Benefits that can be seen from the passage of this bill include the fact that it creates increased effectiveness for the division and licensees. It provides improved supervision of the industry for protecting consumers. It prevents federal encroachment into industries that the state supervises and provides regulations for. House Standing Amendment 1 makes it clear, actually it does three things. It makes it clear that licensing can be done electronically or by paper application. It applies to new licenses only, not renewals. And it also removes consumer rental purchase businesses from background checking, since consumers pay up front for rentals and there is no credit transaction involved in this. And I can stand for any questions or explain each line of the amendment as the body sees fit.
Do we have questions on the amendment? We're talking about the Standing Committee Amendment. Is there questions on it? Are you ready for the question on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Nope. All right, the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
If there are questions on the bill, I'm happy to answer any questions that the body may have. If not, I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with the recommendation that House Bill 61 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. House Bill 61 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill Number 62 from the Minerals Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, amending the definition of an innocent owner for purposes of immunity from liability for contamination on real property as specified, providing a definition and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 62, Innocent Landowner Amendments, respectfully reports same back for the House to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Greer, Kasparik, Larson, Lockhart, Reeder, Summers, and Winters, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill number 62 do pass. And I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from House District 54 in the center of our state.
Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman and members of the House, yesterday we had a handout that should have got on your desk, had my name written on it, somewhat legible, that would have given you a little bit of background information on this bill. What House Bill 62 is, it amends Article 18 of the Environmental Quality Act to a bona fide prospective purchaser as a person who can make an innocent owner defense with respect to causing or contributing to contamination. This amendment addresses the inconsistency between federal and state definitions of innocent landowners. Now, this was an interim committee bill for the Minerals Committee and has taken a substantial amount of time and had a substantial amount of work done on it. As I explain on it, what we're doing here is we're adding on page 4, line 14, a new definition of a bona fide prospective purchaser being added to the term of as an innocent landowner. And to help you understand the bill, I'll try and use an example. And so what I'd like you to do is think of an old filling station where they used to change oil in cars. And in the station there is a sump where the used oil was stored, and consequently it leaked. The used oil leaked under the floor and over the years percolated through the soil, contaminating a portion of the property. The station owner, an older gentleman, has died without any family or survivors. The bank now owns the property because the old man had it mortgaged, and repossession of the property took place after his death. I now have approached the bank about acquiring the property. I am now a bona fide prospective purchaser. Because it's an old fueling station, I have an environmental assessment done as part of due diligence. The assessment, of course, reveals that the used oil sump leaks and the ground under the sump is contaminated. With the language that was placed in this bill, I could pursue the purchase of the property with immunity from liability if I work to remediate the contamination. Now, on page 2 and 3, you'll see the criteria that I would have to, that I would be responsible for in order to meet that criteria. And this isn't necessarily in order, but the first thing I would need to do is notify the DEQ in writing that there was contamination. And then if all release of contaminants or disposal took, and I need to make sure that they understand that all release of the contaminants or any disposal took place before I acquired the property, I need to stop all continuing release of contamination from the property. So the sump's empty, everything's leaked out of it. I would need to seal the sump off so that no other liquids could be put into the sump. And then I would need to prevent any further release for existing contamination. As you're well aware of, oftentimes chemicals during the course of breakdown can have other reactions, and you'd need to ensure that no further breakdown or release of contaminants takes place. You'd need to prevent or limit human, environmental, or natural resource exposure to the previously released contaminant. So if there was evidence that the contaminated soil existed outside the station and close to the bank of the irrigation ditch that just happens to be behind the station, behind the building, barriers would have to be put in place to ensure that the water wasn't being contaminated. Now, it's important for you also to understand that the Department of Environmental Quality has programs to assist with the cost of voluntary remediation efforts, which would be one of the reasons that I would maybe even consider pursuing a purchase of property that had contaminated soils. These conditions are valid for a bona fide prospective purchaser to be an innocent landowner, except if the prospective purchaser is affiliated with the party responsible for contamination. And you'll see that on page 3 on lines 11 through 17, which means if I actually had a family relationship with the owner of the person that caused the contamination, or a contractual, corporate, or financial relationship with that individual, or the reorganization of a potentially liable business. what the bill does, in essence, is allows us to pursue remediation and sale of properties that have maybe had some contamination on them and hold that that purchaser free from any litigation and liability on the on the purchase of that property. So with that said, and hopefully with that explanation making some sense, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions and move that the bill would pass.
It's already been moved. Is there questions on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 62 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. House Bill 62 is passed Committee of the Whole. next item for our consideration is House Bill 133.
House Bill 133, introduced by Representative Connolly, an act relating to crimes and offenses, defining criminal offenses related to human trafficking as specified, providing penalties, providing for restitution, providing an affirmative defense to prosecution of human trafficking victims as specified, providing for services to victims of human trafficking, providing for forfeiture of property as specified, making conforming amendments, and providing for an effective date. And Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 133, Human Trafficking, respectfully reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Walters, and Watt, signed by Representative Gingery, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingery?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 133 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, which is the substitute bill. This bill started a little bit bigger. We spent actually 2 days on the bill, and through those 2 days, and actually it was more than 2 days because we had some time in between to keep working on it before we brought it back on the next Monday. And we got it into a much tighter bill, one that I hope is easier to understand and flows a little better, and that's the substitute bill. So I would ask for your aye vote on the substitute bill so that then we can discuss the substitute bill in toto.
Okay, you've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion, Standing Committee Amendment number one is passed. We're back on the bill. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I turn over explanation of the bill to the good representative from Albany County.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Friends, HB 133 addresses human trafficking, also called modern-day slavery. You'll find three handouts in your box on this bill. One is from one of those organizations that we as legislators all belong to, and it summarizes state activity. One is from an advocacy group with data and general information, and one is from me, which summarizes the elements of the bill. Evidence indicates that human trafficking is one of the fastest-growing criminal industries in the world, just behind drug trafficking and tied with illegal arms trafficking. Traffickers reap billions in profits by using force, fraud, deception, or coercion to rob victims of their freedom through forced labor or commercial sex. According to the State Department, in 2010, there were 12.3 million adults and children in forced labor, bonded labor, and forced prostitution around the world. These victims are often children and teenagers who unknowingly walked into unsafe situations and then were exploited and found themselves in conditions that are nothing short of impossible to escape. These victims have been dehumanized by their perpetrators and often experience unspeakable atrocities that obviously none of us condone. While it may be easier to think of human trafficking happening elsewhere, It's something that none of us wants to consider happens in our own communities. But over the past decade or so, both the federal government and every other state in the nation have responded with legislation in order to combat and respond to the trafficking that we now know happens in the United States. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, federally funded task force opened 2,515 suspected incidents of human trafficking for investigation between January of 2008 and June of 2010. And while there is a federal anti-trafficking act of 2000 that has allowed for prosecution of some incidents when traffickers meet all the criteria established in the federal law, states have responded as well by modifying their codes to better meet the needs of victims and to prosecute perpetrators within their own borders. What we heard in the committee through our AG's office of the Division of Victim Services, as well as advocacy groups, is that regrettably, we have evidence that human trafficking exists in Wyoming and that our current statutes aren't comprehensive enough. We know, for example, that there have been cases of human trafficking prosecuted by the feds within our borders, that the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline has received calls from Wyoming, that advertisements in adult sections of websites with thinly veiled or blatant references to commercial sex acts are taking place in Wyoming, and that our community division of victims, that our community domestic violence and sexual assault agencies have served victims. While the federal law has a role to play in ending trafficking, a comprehensive Wyoming statute is a critical component to a response to the crime. The bill before you includes criminal provisions prohibiting sex and labor trafficking, as well as tools for law enforcement and prosecutors. The bill also provides protection for adult and child victims of trafficking and provides for victim assistance. Making human trafficking a crime in Wyoming is obviously a tool for law enforcement and prosecutors, and it enables our Division of Victim Services to assist these victims. Passing this bill will help victims receive justice and support and will send the message to traffickers that their activities will not be tolerated in Wyoming. And now I just have you turn quickly to the summary sheet that I provided for you. And what you'll see on it, and I'll just briefly go over what's in the bill. You'll see that the first 8 pages of the bill are a wide variety of definitions that are particular to human trafficking. Pages 8 through 12 define the crimes and penalties, including human trafficking in the first degree, human trafficking in the second degree, a definition for forced labor or servitude, sexual servitude of an adult, sexual servitude of a minor, and patronizing a victim, as well as penalties associated with conviction of each of those crimes. Pages 13 through 16 invoke our victim rights and services. 16 and 17, the perpetrator liability. And then some other components that include, for example, making needed modifications to our existing prostitution and solicitation statutes, adding sex traffickers to our sex offender registry, as well as a provision to have DVS develop training that may be offered to law enforcement. On that note, I'll take any questions, and I encourage your support. Thank you.
Any questions or remarks? Representative Coker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a good bill and something we definitely need to support. I just wanted to point out a mistake I found in the title of the bill. It mentions providing for forfeiture of property as specified. On committee, we had some concerns about that section, and we took it out of the bill, so I just wanted to let the sponsor know I'll be bringing an amendment to fix the title on second reading.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have 2 questions for the burner of the bill. I met with the group that you have listed on your handout as the leading national group on this or international group on this, and before I met with them, I asked them 2 questions. Who in the state of Wyoming was failed to be prosecuted because we didn't have a state law? And then she didn't have an answer for that. And then I asked who in another state was prosecuted with solely the state law, where the federal law wasn't enough to prosecute the individual, to which she didn't have an answer to that. And I never received another follow-up correspondence. So if you could just answer those 2 questions for me, I would appreciate it.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the good representative from the contiguous district of mine. I mean, I'd be happy to follow up on that. But in general, when you don't have a law on the book, it's very difficult to know who you could have prosecuted. And in fact, one of the great elements of this bill is that it allows for those who have been trafficked to come forward where they would have been criminals to start with, and now they're not. And so it's very difficult to understand or to answer the question of who would have been helped here when we don't know who would have come forward, because in the past they would have been, for example, labeled first and foremost as a prostitute. Now what they are is a victim of sex trafficking before they're a prostitute. So it's very difficult to answer that question. But wearing my other hat as a university professor, I'm very interested, and I think the question of where the good representatives, the question is going. The efficacy of these kinds of laws. How do you operationalize the variables before a law is passed and after a law is passed? And I'd like to research that, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was in the process of spilling a soft drink on myself, and I didn't hear all of your introduction, and I apologize for that. But when I looked at it, I'm not certain I understand the full, amount of trafficking of any kind in the state of Wyoming, and if you could give me a little background on that, it would help me understand. The merits of the bill I can grasp, but I have no idea of that. It's just not something that's in my background, and before we move forward, if you would touch on that at your early convenience.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm always afraid I'm going to violate the law, so I just want to make this clear. On page 10, when we talk about forced labor and servitude, I'm going to tell you about my household. The only way I can get any labor or services is to knowingly engage in deception, coercion. And so this just gives me a little bit of concern, the broadness of the language, in particular on that section. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to drill through this bill and find what other broad, sweeping language we have that's going to put unknowing citizens at risk of being prosecuted. Boy, these types of bills just frighten me. I'm sorry.
Chairman Gingrich, do you want to go next?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question was asked sort of give an example of one of these that has happened. In my own community, one was prosecuted, and I'll just give you the scenario of what happened. A young girl, she was 12, was brought in from the country south of us. It was one man transported her, told her mother that you know, going to get her to, well, there was a story. And got her up to Jackson, got a hotel room. They put her in the hotel room. There were two men that would go out and encourage people to come. They did. There were lines, and one at a time, men were brought into the room for 30 minutes at a time, and she was raped. Raped for over a 3-week period of time, almost nonstop, 24 hours, because they were trying to make as much money as they could before they had to leave town. Before they got caught. And they were pretty good at it, because you have to be somewhat surreptitious, because people notice people going in and out of a hotel room constantly. They were caught, and they were prosecuted. The young lady actually I've met, and she is doing much better. She actually lives here in the state of Wyoming, and Department of Family Services has helped her considerable. You can imagine the damage that she has incurred. And she has a wonderful foster family in the state that are caring for her very well. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people trying to make a quick buck. They're trying to make money, and they will use another human being to make that money, and in this case, using a young girl. In that case, convictions were obtained. A wonderful prosecutor in our office, she is an excellent prosecutor, was able to use some of our current laws to get the convictions and put those men away. However, it was a difficult prosecution because that particular prosecutor had to sort of put some pieces together that don't always fit together to try to get all the different people that were involved, ranging from the people that were actually the people that were, in their opinion, they weren't the traffickers, they were just the people making the appointments. Then you had the people out on the streets encouraging people, and then you had the actual person who transported her into the country. And it's hard because each one is different elements of a crime. What this bill does is makes it much more easier to find a statute with elements that fit what we're trying to get at. I'd also point out that, and I know the good sponsor knows the numbers better than I do, but I thought we were either the last or almost the last state not to have this. My biggest concern is that if you don't have it on the books, people figure that out, people that are in this business, and they realize that that is a safe harbor. That's a state that's a little, even though we run the risk, that's a little better state because that state does not take the human trafficking of people as seriously. That's the reason I would encourage you to pass this bill. The committee spent considerable amount of time on this bill trying to make it as straightforward as possible. The good speaker asking about the forced labor. We spent a lot of time on that issue because that issue actually deals with non-sexual labor. That's actually forced labor where the example that is common actually in the state of Wyoming, you bring in a foreign worker and you ask for their passport, obtain their passport, and then you don't give it back to them or you don't give back their documents and you don't pay them. And they're isolated. Maybe they're in a place in Wyoming that it's hard for them to figure out how to get away from, and they're forced to work without pay. The one that comes up, you actually read about in the papers, place that you get your nails done. They'll bring in foreign workers there and force them to work there with no pay. They do lots of different scams. You know, I'm going to provide your room and board. Oh, your room and board costs more than what your pay was this week, so you actually didn't earn anything, and actually you're in the negative now. You owe us money, and they never get ahead, and they keep them in slavery, essentially, in the state of Wyoming. So I'd encourage you to vote aye on the bill.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hold my head up high and proudly when I tell you I've been to jail, and it's been on a regular basis. My sheriff hosts lunch at the jail, and there are occasions when he invites me to come down because there is a systemic problem that is facing our area, and he wanted to enlist my help. And it includes sheriff, some of his deputies that are special deputies working on a lot of it is child trafficking, incest, pornography. And when they told me that human trafficking exists in my county, after I picked my chin up off the floor and said, really? They're bringing people in? And they said, no, they're recruiting them locally. He said, talked about some of the young girls that get involved in some methamphetamine and other prescription drugs, and then just as was described, where they get in deeper and deeper in debt, and this is the way they pay off their debt. So if you think this doesn't exist in Wyoming, think again. If you think it doesn't exist in small rural counties, think again. If you think it's not a problem, think again. And I've been to jail to prove it.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up and answer some of the questions preceding me, the extent of the problem is something, in all honesty, we don't know. But we do know that we just have the tip of the iceberg. We do know of the two federal prosecutions that have happened in the state, the one the good chairman talked about and another one. We also know, for example, the evidence that was just talked about in the testimony from the good chairwoman. Our statewide advocacy group, in preparation for this bill over the summer, sent out a survey to every one of our counties' sexual assault and domestic violence agencies, thinking that they would be the place that victims might come to. And again, we don't have a law on the books, and half of our county agencies indicated that yes, they believe and they know that they have addressed issues of trafficking and that they believe that it's barely the tip of the iceberg. We also know that there were 19 calls to a national center on trafficking last year from Wyoming. Content of those follow up. I don't even know how folks got the number to call from Wyoming, but they said that they were in Wyoming at the time. So we do know we do have the evidence. We do know that it's the tip of the iceberg. And in all honesty, for me, just hearing the good chairman of Judiciary talk about that one case, that horrific one case, and thank goodness they were able to figure out a way to prosecute it, but that the laws on our books aren't good enough right now in order to take care of the issue, says to me that we do need a comprehensive statute and that this is it.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of the measure, and I hope that our study will put it into such a condition that some of us, even though former football players and whatnot, find them confused with forced labor. I hope those definitions are rectified and cleared. Relative to, are we exempt in Wyoming from such activity? And the answer is that two years ago, a national publication came out, and it was published AP, and then it was printed also here in Cheyenne in the newspaper here, that we were one of the few states that did not have any state law that provided any kind of correction or adjustment to these activities. And then it recited a case here in Cheyenne of involuntary servitude. The issue, it doesn't escape us just because of our location. The problem then was brought forward by a student at Sheridan High School and gained some attention in the community. I then went to the sheriff's office and went to the office of the chief of police to find out how do you guys get involved in such a thing when, say, involuntary servitude is rumored to be a case. And they said essentially that they were powerless to do anything without a written complaint. Well, the victim doesn't have eye access to pen and pencil or some way for having a complaint. And thus, the rumor would be passed on to the federal officials. And that would be the last that they would hear of it until a victim or the perpetrator was identified. And then that record became a part of their record, and they were then administered accordingly to the federal prosecution, but rarely on state law. So we're not exempt from these kinds of things. I don't know that I haven't had a chance to really study this bill and all of its details, but I hope that this discussion and debate will make it meritorious of your consideration.
Representative Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me make it clear, I don't condone this type of behavior, and these folks ought to be beat with a stick. I understand that wholeheartedly. I got two questions here, though, I'm going to vote in favor of this bill. I want to see this move forward after hearing the testimony,
But I want the body to think about just two things as we move forward and work this, okay? And one is, in the good chair of judiciary, these are kind of maybe directed towards him a little bit. That section on the labor is pretty broad. And my goal down here is to make sure when we're going to charge people with criminal activities that we make it narrowly defined and fit that crime, and it's not subject to a lot of interpretation. I'd like to ask all of you to look at that and think about that. Now, the other thing that comes to mind when I look at it is how many of these crimes can be aggravated from that terrible scenario that was told by the good chair of judiciary. Under this bill, how many years can be aggregated for that? For that crime, I just like to know that. But we got some prosecutors in here who I know can be quite creative. So, here's my questions.
Representative or Chairman Gingrich, can you answer?
And when you're a victim, Mr. Chairman, sometimes people appreciate my creativity. That was a joke. The under 62704 is the forced labor and servitude, and it's good that the good representative brought that up, because actually in committee that's what we probably spent our most time talking about, because we wanted to make sure exactly what he was saying, and I think even someone in committee used the same exact example he used, your own kids, you know. So here's what I would ask you to do, and it takes a little while to walk you through it, but remember, these are all elements of a crime. So you got a person, and so you got a person, is guilty of forced labor or servitude. So that's the crime, forced labor or servitude. When the person, and then we have there, either intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly, it's one of those three. And you'll notice in the other ones, it's intentionally, knowingly. In this one, we add in the word recklessly. And this is where it gets important. Uses coercion, deception, or fraud. So one of those three, to compel an individual to provide labor or forced services. Okay, I would agree that's overly broad if that was just all we had. But then what I'd ask you to do, and this is why the bill is sort of long, we took a lot of time to make sure all of those words were defined very specifically. So if you look on page 2, the word coercion, and so that's one of the elements, coercion. And then you go down through that, and you'll see all the different, I think we had through H, we had different types of coercion that are possible, and you can read those yourself there, and you see how we defined coercion. Then the next one is deception. Okay, and so then we went through and we defined deception. That starts on page 4, and you can read through that one. And then the other one we defined was forced services. So you can find that one on page 5 at the bottom there. And so we took a lot of care to make sure that we weren't just using words and we would allow the courts just to figure out what those words meant. And I'll tell you, we had a long debate. I'll tell you where the long debate ended up being. It was on page 6, lines 7 through 10. We had a long talk about taking passports, and we actually did a lot of amendments on that aspect, that if you knowingly destroy, conceal, remove, or confiscate anybody's passport or immigration documents. And so what we tried to do, and I hope we accomplished it, but if someone sees that we could narrow it even more, I'd certainly welcome, and I think the sponsor of the bill would certainly welcome, second reading amendments to narrow that down even further. But I certainly agree with the good representative that out of anywhere in the bill, that's the part that you're going to focus in on, and he, being such a good attorney, found it pretty quickly. So that's the answer to that.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your good conversation. If any of you have any issues or concerns for second or third reading amendments, let me know, and I'd be happy to work on them with you. And at this point, I'd ask for your favorable aye vote.
Any other further questions? Okay, question on the bill. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 133 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That House Bill 133 is passed committee of the whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, on the general file list, after House Bill 133, before House Bill 175, insert Senate File 104. It will be the first topic after lunch. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee of the whole rise and sit again at 2 o'clock. And please remember, ladies and gentlemen, take a few minutes. The caucuses are going to be delayed a few minutes so you can visit with law enforcement in the tunnel on the way to your caucus.
Okay, you've heard the motion, but is there committee announcements at this time? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment in room H17 to hear House Bill 203, Health Benefit Exchange Study and Select Committee.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., room H8, to take up House Bill 191, Emergency Child Placement Background Checks. House Bill 201, Transfer on Death Deed. House Bill 121, Felony Crime Victim Advocate. Oh, actually, we're not taking that one up. The sponsor asked me to lay that back down. And then House Bill 220, Involuntary Hospitalizations Jury Trial. And then at noon, we'll take up House Bill 204, Katie's Law, and House Bill 202, Transcripts in Criminal Cases. And if necessary, we'll meet upon adjournment to finish our work on all those bills.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 2, Appropriations, will continue work on re-referred bills. 10 minutes upon adjournment today, House Bill 71, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, House Bill 81, Large Project Funding, House Bill 163, Adjunct Professor Incentives, and any other bills, and I believe House Bill 26, Appraiser Management Company Regulation, and any other bills re-referred today, we will work those on adjournment today, and we will continue then with referred bills, House Bill tomorrow, Thursday, 124, and we will, at 8 a.m., we will hear Fireman Pension Plan A, that's House Bill 45, House Bill 173, Community College Police Officer Retirement, and House Bill 180, Supplemental Budget Request Limitations, and that will be at 8 a.m. tomorrow. Thank you, Ms. Chairman.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Corporation 7, will meet tomorrow, January 24th, upon noon recess. And the bills that we will consider are House Bill 18, Telecommunications Internet Protocol Enabled Services, and if time allows, House Bill 123, Restaurant Liquor Licensees Dispensing Rooms. And at this moment, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to have a privilege to just thank my Vice Chairman, Greg Blickery, for standing in for my absence. I really appreciate it.
Vice Chairman Blickery, you did a good job. Do you have an announcement?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, January 25th, in room H11 at 8 a.m. to hear House Bill 199, Cigarette Taxes, House Bill 70, Vehicle Registration, and House Bill 210, Large Trucks, Mileage Tax.
And that would be day after tomorrow on Friday. Vice Chairman Davison, she's been up there long time. Or Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6 will meet Friday morning at 7 o'clock in room 302 to go over House Bill 136, Game and Fish License Fees, House Bill 157, Game and Fish License Residency, House Bill 137, Game and Fish Indexing of License Fees, and House Bill 131, Game Fish Definition.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Proceed.
I'd like to remind everyone that we do have a legislative prayer breakfast tomorrow morning at the Egg and I, at starting at about 6:30, but we'll be in full progress at 6:45, and everybody can make an 8 o'clock meeting if they are there, and I urge anybody that would like to be there to please come.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your minority caucus will be meeting upon the noon recess in Hirschler 1699. Pick up a box lunch, and you're all welcome to join us.
Any more announcements? Okay, you heard the motion to recess. The committee of the whole will sit again at 2 o'clock.